You're listening to Greater LA from KCRW, the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. Hi, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Well, here we are. America.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag.
Born in the USA.
America.
Stand up for your rights.
Maybe you voted already, dropped your ballot off in one of the hundreds of secure boxes around town. Perhaps you voted by mail or are old school and actually went to a polling place / voting center to vote early. Or you're just procrastinating and still need to get out there and vote, even in the rain. In any case, all of those methods of voting early, in person, by mail, or at a drop box are overseen by registrars. And in these politically charged and volatile times, they're facing lies and conspiracies about voter fraud and even threats to them and their poll workers. With us today to talk about the challenges of election season, the politics of it for sure, are Riverside County's Registrar Rebecca Spencer and Orange County Registrar Bob Page. Welcome to you both.
Hello, how you doing?
Hello.
Bob, I'm going to start with you. You recently invited a bunch of news organizations into your voter operations to, you know, for transparency, to walk folks through how everything works. Give us a quick step-by-step of how you safeguard the vote. I mean, what happens to a ballot that someone, say, puts in a drop box? How safe is that box, and how are those ballots collected?
Well, we believe our ballot drop boxes are very safe. They're made of very thick steel. They weigh about 1,000 pounds. They're bolted to the concrete. We place them in high traffic areas. And we put 121 throughout Orange County. We collect those ballots pretty much every day. And we've sent 10 two-person teams to all the boxes to pick those ballots up. We track their GPS location at all times using their phone. We're also in constant radio contact with them when they show up at a drop box and empty the ballots out of it. They have to send us two photos, one showing that the box has been emptied and that our fire suppression device is still intact inside the box. Then they also take a photo of the box once it's been closed with an election seal sticker over the door so that we know that they properly sealed it, so that when the next team comes back the next day, they can seal that it's not been tampered with in any way.
You've got monitors, Bob, right, with poll workers, you know, and those monitors can see everything that's going on with the poll workers while the votes are being counted, obviously making the process as visible as possible, transparent as possible for anyone who might question the process. That's what's going on, right?
Yeah, we provide transparency a couple different ways. For those people who want to just watch to see if we're actually processing ballots, we have some live streams of some overhead cameras in our facility. They can see that we're working. But if they actually want to get close and see what each staff person's doing, they would need to come into our office, and we're open to anyone who wants to come to observe. We've set up a lot of different cameras and large screens monitors so that rather than having to stand directly over somebody's shoulder looking at what they're doing at a computer, their computer screens are mirrored onto a large screen TV. They can stand a couple feet behind them, and multiple observers can watch that person as they work.
Rebecca, is all that enough? Are people satisfied with the transparency in voting? I mean, behind all of this effort, there are the conspiracies and lies about widespread voter fraud that have been popping up all over the country.
So for people that come into our office to observe, they generally leave feeling much better about the process and having a lot more confidence. We've given quite a few tours to any interested person, and usually after they see the whole process, they're very confident.
I asked the confidence question because in your county, in Riverside County, the Board of Supervisors recently approved an election advisory committee to actually oversee elections, something you have said was wholly unnecessary. Why do you think it did that? I mean, was that just political? What's the advisory committee doing?
The advisory committee was a request from the Board of Supervisors and was approved, and they are here to give feedback, get feedback from the community, and you know, have constant improvement after each election and provide us with that feedback and ways that we can make voting more accessible.
What's it like, Rebecca, having to defend your job, though, all the time against accusations that generally have no evidence to back them up?
It definitely has just become part of the job. We have to, you know, just make sure that the truth and facts are out there and really take the time to educate the public.
Bob, you've been a registrar for some time. Before taking over the elections in OC, you were in San Bernardino County. Talk a little bit about the shift that's happened over the past couple of years in terms of voter attitudes to the election process and how it affects you and your work.
Well, I would say since the 2020 presidential election, there is a lot more interest in what we do. We get a lot more questions from voters, whether it's online or calls to us. And in California, in the Voter Bill of Rights, voters have the right to observe our processes. They have a right to ask questions about our processes, and we have an obligation to answer them. So I think the shift that's happened in administration of elections is that we've had to really expand upon our communication efforts, making sure that we're getting information out to our voters ahead of time to provide them with valuable, good information, and then make sure that we're properly staffed so that when we get requests for, you know, questions, requests for documents, that we're able to respond in a timely manner. So I think kind of the result of this interest is that we're having to, you know, expand upon those services that we provide and in terms of how we communicate what we do.
Are y'all seeing any of the folks showing up even at polling places? You know, we saw in Arizona just in the past few weeks where people have been showing up, you know, with camouflage on and you know, tactical gear and even some guns. Have you seen any of that, Rebecca?
Not in Riverside County. We do have observers that have been here in our office and also out at the vote centers and drop-off locations, but they have been very civil. We haven't had any threats of violence. They are just observing the process and complying with the California laws on observation.
You see that, Bob?
No, we, as Rebecca has in Riverside, we've got observers who are coming into our office, visiting our vote centers, may watch our ballot drop box activity, but we've not had anything, as you've mentioned, other states have had with people who are dressed a certain way or maybe carrying weapons. We've not experienced that in Orange County.
Does that concern you?
If somebody were to show up, yeah, that would definitely concern. I mean, I've got two basic responsibilities as a registrar of voters in Orange County. Is I need to, one, make sure that the voters are able to safely exercise their right to vote, but I also need to protect the safety of my staff, the people that we have on work in our office year-round, and those that we, you know, the more than 1,500 or so people we hire just for the election to help us. So, you know, that's, you know, part of this business as well, is we have established relationships with law enforcement at local, state, and federal levels that are supporting our operations, that we make sure they know where all of our voting locations are going to be in case there's an issue, they can respond quickly. They're monitoring discussions on the internet about voting to look for anything that might be of concern that we need to be aware of. So they're, you know, finding and monitoring if people are trying to test our systems to see if they can get into them.
And Rebecca, I'll ask you the same question. You know, are you concerned about threats to poll workers, volunteers who show up at those voting centers, at those polls, even yourself, even the people who handle the ballots?
Not in Riverside County. We have not experienced any threats. I mean, we get our typical, you know, negative comments and people saying that they don't trust the office or they, you know, they're concerned about fraud. But we haven't had any threats of violence.
Rebecca, when you look across the country, there are candidates who have said that they won't accept the results of the election if they lose. There are election deniers who have been put into positions to run elections as well. What do you do in a situation like that? You know, how does running elections affect democracy going forward? Do you think if there are people who deny that elections actually work, or, you know, deny the results of an election because they didn't win?
So I think in those circumstances, it's going to be left up to the courts to certify elections if an election official refuses to do it. There's backup paperwork. There's the paper copy of the ballots. There's ways to do recounts. So I think if we stick to the facts and look at the ballots themselves, there'll be ways to certify the election results.
Bob, same question to you. Are you concerned about the future of democracy when we've got this, prevailing thought that, among election deniers that elections aren't fair or something's wrong, something's amiss if they don't win?
I feel like we're doing a good job of working with the community and inviting them into the process and communicating with them. So I'm still optimistic this is something we can continue to work through and have those discussions and help people understand our elections. I know there will still be some people who aren't satisfied and will go to our Board of Supervisors meetings and request that we do things differently, that we hand count every ballot or do something like that. So, that's going to continue to happen for a little while, but I'm still optimistic that we will get through this and through our efforts to be fully transparent and to communicate what we do, I think will be helpful.
Well, thank you for coming on and talking with us. Thank you for your service, both of you. Rebecca Spencer, Riverside County Registrar of Voters, and Bob Page, the Orange County Registrar as well. Thanks for taking time out on this busy day.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Well, moving on now with Greater LA on KCRW, just heard about the registrars of Orange and Riverside counties and how they're approaching election security, how they're having to defend their work against conspiracies and outright lies. But those are just two counties. Candidates all across the country have already indicated they will not necessarily accept the results of the election, especially if they don't win. And election officials nationwide are dealing with harassment. There have been somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 threats reported to the Department of Justice just in the last year. 10% of those rise to the level of prosecutable threats. So just how do these officials do their jobs behind the scenes? And how did we get to this point of the integrity of elections actually being questioned? Kim Alexander is president of the California Voter Foundation, and she's with us right now. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We just heard from a couple of county registrars, but there are a lot of folks who work on elections, from poll workers to ballot counters to secretaries of state. Quite a massive undertaking for sure. But assuming that all the machinery works as it's supposed to, I'm curious about the end of the process when it comes to certifying election results. How does all of that work?
Well, every ballot that's cast in California gets counted, no matter what the results are, and the election officials at the local level have the responsibility of tabulating those votes and reporting the results. They have 30 days to do that, and many counties are going to need all 30 days because we have shifted so much to the use of vote-by-mail ballots. We expect 90% or more of the ballots cast in this election will be cast as vote-by-mail ballots, and each one is inside an envelope that bears a voter signature that must be verified before it can be opened and extracted and counted. So that takes a lot of time, and that's why we expect that the results will be a long count for people. And I know that can make people impatient, and people want the satisfaction of, having the answers on election night. And we're just going to have to wait, especially in close contests. We may have to wait for days or even weeks to find out what the outcome is.
We have another guest on the line as well, Mindy Romero, founder and director of the Center for Inclusive Democracy at the USC Sol Price School of Public Policy. Mindy, welcome to you.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I suppose the simple answer to how we got here as far as questioning elections in 2022 is former President Donald Trump, exacerbating the issue. I mean, there have always been questions about election results, but never as widespread as we've seen in the year 2022. Other GOP candidates have adopted this big lie strategy. There had to be Americans who were or are receptive to that idea that elections are fraudulent. That, you know, I mean, why do you suppose that is? Why do you think the strategy has been so successful despite any real evidence to back it up?
Well, first off, you're absolutely right. It has been successful. And we have a number of surveys that tell us a small percentage overall, but a very large dominant majority of Republicans believe that or have some doubts about the legitimacy of the 2020 general election. Why is that? I mean, I think this is part of a long-term kind of trajectory that we've been on, becoming more and more polarized, really seeing, you know, the other people of the other party as not just people with different ideas or different mindset potentially, but people that really are just absolutely counter to who we are and even maybe potentially evil, right? So we see each other in really extremes. And then to be quite frank, all of this has been a political manipulation, right? So the fans of doubt started before 2020. It started in 2016 in earnest. And we saw the president of the United States at the time, and we saw many others, as you said, since, that really have used this for political gain.
Kim, here in California and L.A. County, we've had a lot of changes to how we vote. Vote by mail and drop boxes for sure from polling places. Now we have voting centers and even voting machines, different kinds of voting machines. Is it reasonable for people to feel change has been maybe a little too fast and that can be difficult?
Well, change is hard, and that's, you know, especially with something like voting, which we don't do that often, it is difficult for people to get used to a new system. But that being said, California has the strongest election certification requirements of any state in the country. We require all this equipment, including everything used in LA, to be tested and certified before it's even purchased. The equipment has to go through extensive hardware tests, software tests, volume tests, red team tests to check for any kind of malicious software in the code. So it is really looked over very carefully before it's certified. And then once it's certified, every jurisdiction in the state is required to test the equipment before and after the election. We also require paper ballots in California. We didn't always, and there was a time that I was very worried about election security when we were allowing paperless electronic voting. Fortunately, California did away with that starting in 2003. The rest of the states followed us, and now 95% of the ballots in the last presidential election were cast on paper. And California should be proud of the fact that we led that movement. Now we have paper ballots, we have robust security, we have post-election audits that are required no matter how close or wide the margins are in a contest. Every contest is audited, and we don't allow any voting equipment to be connected to the internet. So, you know, we have a lot of protections in place. California voters should feel confident about the security of their vote.
What about, Mindy, the observation of the counting process? You know, when it comes to counting ballots this year, we've seen in some places more enhanced observation. In some places, it'll be live streamed. Is more transparency a good thing in this case? Will it change any minds, do you think? Or is this just strictly political and they're never going to believe that elections are not fraudulent in some way?
I certainly think more transparency is always good. But there really are kind of two main camps of folks out there that question, right, the electoral process and legitimacy of it, fraud and so forth. There are those that are, you know, feel that way, but are open, I think, to some extent, sincerely, to want to get more information so that maybe their minds can be changed, right, with information, with data, with explanation, with video, with observation. And then there are those that, you know, at least we hear from many people on the ground that no matter what, you know, they are told their opinions are very entrenched, right? And they're very suspicious of the system, of any information that they're given. Election official after election official across the country can tell you stories of, you know, having to field calls from people that they, you know, sincerely try to work with, and it's really, really difficult. And I think a lot of that, again, is a product of so much misinformation and manipulation that people are the kind of the story for why you shouldn't believe what your election official is showing you and you're seeing with your own eyes. Is real, and it's it's highly impactful. At the same time, a lot of these transparency laws and actions that are taken, let's also be honest, you know, most people don't see that or know about that. There's an information gap, period. And so we know how elections run, and we know that taking a long time to count those vote-by-mail ballots is a good thing because it means that there's verification and it protects the process. But not everybody gets that message, and I would say most people don't get that message, and we're trying to do more, and I say we, the collective we, right, in elections, to educate folks just about kind of what to expect, and the media obviously play a role in that. But there's folks that are going to get that message and still need more explanation before they believe, and then those that, again, their opinions are entrenched.
Mindy, here in California, we have, according to the Washington Post, 7 GOP congressional candidates who have been characterized as so-called election deniers, who tonight are either expected to win or they're in competitive races, could win. They're all incumbents. Plus, there are local officials in other places, too. What do you make of that? That, you know, election denying isn't coming with any cost. There's no accountability when people just make things up or say that, you know, there's fraudulent elections and yet they have no evidence to back it up.
The bottom line is also how people vote, right? And so we know that a majority of Americans are concerned about our democracy being in peril, right? A number of surveys have shown that. We know that what in peril or in danger means is different for Republicans versus Democrats. So the problem and the prescription is different. And also, a lot of Americans, despite saying that they feel like there's, you know, something in danger about our democracy, when you ask them for the top issues that they care about that they're going to vote on, democracy falls down the list. So you can be somebody that maybe isn't very happy with a candidate, right, that is an election denier, but in these hyper-partisan polarized times, you're still going to vote for them. And sorry, Kim, I think you were going to say something.
Yeah, if I could, I do think we have to wait and see what happens before we start, you know, trying to predict the outcome. And I also want to point out that, yes, while we've had this, you know, ongoing coverage of threats to the election workers and this, you know, fear-oriented media coverage, which is just what the media does, Americans are not in agreement with that. In fact, the recent NPR Marist poll that came out just last week said that 3/4 of Americans said they have confidence in their local and state governments to conduct a fair and accurate election. Now, that got really buried in the story that NPR put out about it, but that's what people are saying. So yeah, there's been a lot of criticism of the voting process. There are people who are making outrageous claims that are not appearing to suffer any punishment for it, which is disappointing because it's irresponsible what they're doing. But a lot of people aren't buying it, and they are trusting the people who they know who run their elections. These are your neighbors, the people you see at the supermarket. You know, they're human beings, so they're not going to, you know, be 100% perfect every time. But there is still strong public support for election administration and for the people who run our elections.
God, I wish I could have an hour conversation with you about this, Kim Alexander, because there's so much to talk about. I want to thank you both for coming on. Kim Alexander, president of the California Voter Foundation. Mindy Romero, founder and director of the Center for Inclusive Democracy at the USC Sol Price School of Public Policy. Thanks to you both for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
That's all the time we have for today. Tomorrow, we start talking about the results as they slowly come in. It may take a while, but tomorrow we begin the process of counting the votes and telling you who's winning and who's not. On this election day, if you haven't voted yet, obviously vote. And you can get the latest on the midterm election, all the stories that we've done, and our other shows, too, at kcrw.com/election, our special midterm election page. By the way, we have a potent line of thunderstorms moving through Los Angeles right at this very moment. So if you're on the roads, be careful. Some lightning, a little thunder, even some hail. So watch out as you're moving through greater L.A. at this moment. I'd like to thank you for joining us today on our show. Juliana Mayo, Nihar Patel, Phil Richards, Amy Tuck, Carlos Ramirez, Christine Comito, and Christian Bordahl all help put the show together. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Happy Election Day. Have a great day.